Hello everyone and welcome to the 30 minute episode of Lum and Abner. We have an episode this week and I also have another segment where I interviewed Uncle Donnie Pitchford. And by the way, this is your host Keith. This segment is really kind of the after show. Once I finished the interview with Uncle Donnie, we kind of spent a few minutes just kind of chatting about some random topics. Before we get going, let's eavesdrop in on this interview that I recorded way back in Valentine's Day of 2016, last month. So here we go. Chet Locke and Tuffy Goff write some books or a book?
They wrote, they wrote the little book called Lum and Abner and Their Friends from Pine Ridge, which was published in 1932.
Wow.
And they actually did that when they were between sponsors. You know, their first sponsor was the Quaker Oats Company.
Right.
And they moved to Chicago, had full NBC coverage for a period of time when that ran out.
Yeah, does that book is it still out there? I'm sure it's on a publication.
Yeah, the museum, I think, has a reprint available, which is very inexpensive. The original book's hard to find, but the reprint, I think, is very affordable. It's a little paperback reprint. But they wrote the text, and they actually did that after the national sponsorship ended, and they were broadcasting from the Dallas-Fort Worth market. And Quaker Oats in Dallas-Fort Worth continued them. So they were really only on one station, or two stations that shared a frequency, which was an odd thing, WBAP and WFAA.
Hmm.
And when that ran out, they were unsponsored, but WBAP kept them on in a sustaining mode, and they used that to sell their book.
Right. Well, it's like I read someplace, probably from Job Down Journal, that they did do that. They had a book to sustain them in between. But in my mind, for some reason, I thought it came later, like, you know, in the 40s sometime.
No, it was it was 1932, and what they basically did is got a contract with the Ford Dealers of America, and they were back on NBC. If I'm remembering correctly, I don't know if they went directly to NBC. They may have been on a single station here or there,
mm-hmm.
you know, when that started, but that gradually grew to be on NBC again by 1933. And then after NBC, it was Horlick's Malted Milk, which started again with just a cluster of stations. In fact, they were one of the early programs that benefited from the formation of Mutual when Mutual got started. What everybody wanted was the Lone Ranger, but because of that cooperation between several local stations, it formed a network, and part of that was Lum and Abner.
Huh.
So they were part of that early Mutual expansion, and that's when they were with Horlick's.
Yeah, and I like the Horlick's commercials. They're pretty hilarious.
The Horlick's commercials?
Yeah,
that's,
I did some research on Horlick's because I was just fascinated by those commercials. I was even in contact with the Horlick's company, which is still out there in the UK.
They
were going to send me a case of Horlick's. I said, that's okay, I'm in the US.
I used to be able to get that. You know, that used to still be available, but it's hard to get now. Yeah, those complete Horlick shows were among the ones that the Lum and Abner Society rediscovered and released. In fact, some of those Horlick shows were considered lost until we found them. And again, I can't thank Sam Brown enough for his efforts in locating those and negotiating with the owner. So up until 1993, there were no Horlick's commercials or complete programs from the Horlick's era in existence. There were parts. The body of the show was available in the syndicated radio series from a couple of the stories, The Hog Chain Letter, When the first time they did the movie theater, those had been available. But it was strictly the body of the show, and it was in the format of the syndicated shows that were out there for several years. But the whole thing about the circus, and let's see, what is it? Isn't there an oil company story? Yeah, and
it starts out at the tail end of the oil company story and goes into a marriage bureau.
Right, that's right, yeah.
And it goes into flashlight promotion.
I got to be the first person to hear those. Wow. Again, after all those years in 1992-93, you talk about fun. It was an eerie experience. I mean, I felt like I was in a time machine, and I was the chosen one to get to hear these for the first time. And now you know they're available everywhere. It's astonishing.
Yep.
But that was fun. And I would sit there and I would think, you know, just think. Nobody's heard these for years.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing them for the first time again. And sitting there sweating, you know, hoping that it'll play all the way through and the stylus won't skip. Having to stop, you know, a lot of stopping and re-cleaning and all that sort of thing. But that was a fun experience.
Well, I'm just glad they're out there.
Me too. Yeah, I just hope we can find more. Well, it's fun. One thing about the doing the comic strip that's fun for me is I almost get to be a radio producer, you know, on a small scale each week when I do those audio productions, because it's fun to do the sound effects and try to mix things together. And although a lot of things are edited and parts are done individually and put together, every now and then we do them in real time. The times when I'm able to get together with Tim Hollis and Sam Brown, and we'll break the scripts down, or I'll try to have a dozen or so pre-written. Uh-huh. And we actually did, I think, 13 or 14 scripts for comic strips. We recorded the audio in real time. I think we knocked them out in a couple of hours, and that was fun.
Wow.
We tried to do the effects live and that sort of thing. That was a couple of years ago. Actually, it's been almost 3 years ago that we did that, but that was fun to actually perform them that way, and a lot less editing.
Yeah, it's always good to go for less editing, but
it's fun looking for sound effects too, and sometimes having to create them and that sort of, and I try to use vintage sound effects when I have to use pre-recorded sounds.
Yeah, I find sometimes I can grab some sound effects from old radio shows. Sometimes
right.
For example, a telephone ring will ring, and like, oh, that's so pristine, I'm going to grab that, because sometimes there's somebody talking as the phone is ringing in or ringing out. It's like, oh, man.
We had a guy, it was actually a doorbell, the type that you turn and it rings.
Oh, yeah. But
a fellow got one of those and built us our door ringer, which it's basically just mounted on a wooden handle. And so when we would do our radio shows in MENA, we always made sure we wrote that phone in there so we could use that sound effects gadget. But I have it here. Sam kept it for years because he was always in charge of our sound effects. But when he and Tim were here almost just about 3 years ago, Sam brought that back and said, you know, you really need to hang on to this and use it in the comic strip. So when I do the audio versions of the comic strip, that's what opens each one, is the phone ring from this ringer gadget that we have.
Alrighty, and as always, it is just wonderful to have had Donnie Pitchford to let me talk to him and record our little chat. Just so people know, I will be releasing this, all these interview segments together, kind of all mashed up. I edited things down, and I guess it sounds pretty good. We all ran together. If people be interested in that, let me know. I don't know that I'll post it as a full episode on the site, but let's just say there could be some bonus content out there. Now, you know what? Speaking of bonus content, check out the Lumen Abner Radio Fan Club on Facebook and the radio, the Lumen Abner Comic Strip group on Facebook. Feel free to stop by the National Lumen Abner Society webpage. That's located at LumandAbnerSociety.org. All the official stuff that is put out by the National Lum and Abner Society goes there. And I think that is all, except for contacting me. You can stop by retro-otr.com. And through there, you can check out all the stuff I podcast about besides Lum and Abner. Check out the various shows, the westerns, the comedies, the dramas, the police and the detectives and all those things. If you find it area you might like to subscribe to, visit the resources page, and there's various links you can click on to add to your favorite podcatcher and grab the stuff that I put out there. So let me go ahead and hop off of here and say thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.
For now, get ready for Lum's Insurance Company, March 27th, 1949.
The Lum and Abner Show.
Lum, what have you been doing all morning with them books and papers?
Abner, don't bother me. This is the biggest one idea I ever had.
Oh, yeah.
I'm forming a new insurance company.
Insurance company? What's the name of it?
The Lum Edwards Mutual Casualty Benefit Fidelity and Insurance Society of Pine Ridge and Company, Incorporated.
You breathed it, huh?
Yeah.
Is there any money in that loan?
Money? Abner, who do you think owns all them tall buildings you see in the big cities?
Huh?
Who do you think owns that big rock of Gibraltar out there in the ocean?
Jack Benny?
Insurance companies. Of course, mine's going to be a non-profit.
No profit, son.
That's right. All the money we take in stays in the company. Of course, we've got to pay salaries to the executives.
Oh, sure.
President and the three vice presidents, first, second, and third.
No shortstop, huh? Well, who are the executives going to be, Lum?
Well, seeing how I thought of the idea, I figured I'd hold down all them jobs myself.
Now I see why it's a non-profit company.
What do you mean?
Well, by the time you get done paying all them salaries to yourself, there won't be no money left for profits.
Congratulations, Abner. Let me shake your hand. You're the first customer in my new insurance company.
How do you do? Now I've got to go out and find myself an accident someplace.
Well, an accident ain't the only way you can collect your insurance. You get paid for being sick, too.
Yeah, if I'm real lucky.
Now, take Earl Scudder over in Hatfield. Now, he had one of these insurance policies, and when he got sick, he collected for 3 months.
Earl Scudder's dead.
Yeah, but he ain't broke.
No. A lucky stiff. Hey, Lum, look, there comes that lady from the county seat that was here last week.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I can sell her one of my insurance policies.
Yeah. Well, howdy, ma'am.
Come right in.
How do you do? I'm Miss Pitts of the County Home Economic Bureau. I'm preparing a sample luncheon for 8 Pine Ridge housewives, and I'd like to buy some crab meat for the salad.
Well, sit right down, Miss Pitts. Now, I have a little accident and health insurance here that a fine, intelligent woman like you should swallow hook, line, and sinker.
Oh, thank you. The county has delegated me to instruct the housewives of Pine Ridge in the new economic policy.
Well, Miss Pitts, I have a very economic policy, too.
Well, that's fine. I'd like a brand that's reliable and cheap and tasty.
Well, mine's reliable and cheap.
Well, it might be tasty, too, if you like parchment long.
Do you sell it loose, or does it come in the can?
Well, it comes on paper, but I can stick it in a can for you.
Here's an old tomato can. You can stick it in this one.
Yeah. Good, stick it in there. You don't mind if it's wrinkled up, do you, Miss Pitts?
No, I'm going to mix it with mayonnaise and dressing anyway.
Wait a minute, Miss Pitts. You talk like you're fixing to eat this insurance policy.
Well, that's one way of getting sick and collecting.
Oh, dear me. I'm afraid you misunderstood me. I don't want an insurance policy. I just want to buy a can of crab meat.
Crab meat?
Miss Pitts, if you're going to eat that stuff, you'll need an insurance policy.
Me, here I am, been wasting my time for nothing. Abner, have we got any crab meat?
Yeah, we got some in before the war. It's up there on that top shelf right next to the strong heart dog food there.
Would be on the top shelf where I can't reach it. Abner, come over here and bend down so I can climb up there.
Yeah, all right. Oh, doggies, Lom, it feels like you got on your baseball shoes again.
Does he always stand on your shoulders like that?
No, ma'am. Just when he's reaching for the top shelf.
I gotta stop jiggling, Abner. I'm coming down. Well, here you are, Miss Pitts. That's 30 cents.
Oh, thank you. Here's the money, and good day.
Good day.
Good day.
Good day.
Well, that's four good days in a row. Longest spell of good weather we've had in weeks around here.
Well, hello, Opie, old friend. Come on in, Abner. Get the cat out of that easy chair and let our guest make himself comfort while I sell him an accident policy.
Well, he sure needs one. He's bound to have an accident sooner or later the way he plays that clarinet of his.
Opie, suppose you had an accident or you got too sick to work. What would happen to you and your loved ones?
I don't know. I guess they'd throw me out of the house.
Natural.
Yeah.
But, Opie, if you had an insurance policy and you was getting paid all the time you're sick, then what would happen?
His loved ones would never let him get any better.
Well, anyway, Opie, all it costs is $3 a month.
$3 a month?
Well, actually, Opie, it comes to just 10 cents a day. You spend that much on a good necktie.
Well, yeah, 10 cents a day ain't much. All right, Lum, here's a dime. I'll take a day's worth.
A day's worth?
Yeah, but don't make out the policy now. I want to save it for the day I have my accident.
Why don't you spend 20 cents, Opie? That way you get that double identities.
Be quiet. Opie, you can't get it by the day. You got to buy a month's worth.
Well, I ain't got $3 right now, Lum, but I'm expecting some money later on.
Well, that's all right, Opie. You can pay me then. Now, just sign this policy. Here's my pen.
Yes, sir. Well, there you are, Lum. Well, I gotta run along now. I'll see you later, fellas.
Yeah, so long, Opie.
Opie, wait just a minute. How much money are you expecting later?
Well, I don't know yet, Lum. It all depends on what kind of accident I have. So long.
Granny's Abner, this insurance company of mine is going even better than I thought it would.
Well,
I've already sold you and Opie, and the town's full of suckers just like you.
Yeah. Well, I knew you'd get me, but doggies, I didn't think Opie'd be that stupid.
You know, Abner, I've been thinking I ought to have more of a dignified name for my company.
Oh.
Lum Edwards don't sound important enough.
No. You could have called yourself John Edwards. Or Henry. Hey, wait a minute. What about Prudential Edwards?
Yeah, that sounds kind of important. sounds insurancey.
Yeah.
Prudential J. Edwards. Yeah, I kind of like that.
Yeah. We could call you Prudy for sure. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Here comes Luke Spears, and he looks madder than a wet setting him. Yeah, howdy, Lou.
Howdy, Abner.
Yeah, howdy, Lou.
Well, I'm Edwards. What'd you do to my nephew, Opie?
Well, nothing. I just sold him my insurance policy.
Well, all he's been doing for the last 2 hours is throwing himself downstairs on his head.
Oh, law me.
What happened to him?
Nothing, but he busted 3 of my steps.
Well, Luke, I'm glad you come over here.
I won't do it, Lum.
You won't do what?
Whatever you're going to ask me.
Luke, I'm just trying to help you because you're such a nice, sweet, friendly little feller.
Oh, yeah? I'm a mean, miserable, nasty little varmint, and you know it.
He's got you there, Lum.
Yeah, I know, but I'm willing to overlook that. Now, Luke, everybody needs insurance. For instance, suppose you was walking down the street some night.
What street?
Any street. It don't make no difference.
It makes a difference to me. I ain't going walking on no strange street in the middle of the night.
I don't blame you, Luke. That's how accidents happen.
Well, it don't have to be a strange street. Let's say you're walking down Main Street just for the sake of argument.
I don't have to walk down Main Street for an argument. I get more than I can handle right in my own lunchroom.
He gets one every time he serves a meal.
There's not going to be any argument. You're just walking down Main Street.
Where am I going?
You're not going anyplace.
Now, wait a minute.
All right, then. You're going to Moe's Moots Barbershop.
What for? I just got a haircut yesterday.
How about a shave?
No, thank you, Abner.
Well, then, Luke, let's forget about accidents. Let's suppose you get sick. Now, with one of my policies, you can be sick in bed and still have money coming in.
I can?
Well, sure. As high as $50 a week, and all it costs you is $3 a month.
Well, Dad, blame it, Lum. Why didn't you tell me that an hour ago instead of wasting my time talking about insurance? Here's $3. I'll take one of them sick policies.
That's fine. Now, here's my pen, Luke. Just put your John Hancock right there.
John Hancock? How come he don't sign his own name?
What?
Now, I gotta get back to lunchroom. So long, fellas.
So long, Lou.
So long. Granny's Abner, this insurance company is a regular gold mine.
Well, it ought to be. You get them policies printed up for 6 cents a piece, and you're getting $3 for them.
Wait a minute, Abner. You just give me an idea how I can make a lot more money. All I gotta do is lower the prices.
You mean you're going to sell your insurance cheaper?
No, I'm going to try to get them 6 cent policies printed for a nickel apiece.
Oh!
So far, I sold insurance policies to you, Opie Cates, Luke Spears, Charlie Redfield, Corny Struby, the Widder Frawley, and Snagwares.
Oh, well.
Granny's already took in enough money to pay myself my salaries as president, secretary, and treasury.
Well, that's pretty good for one day.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Of course, I still owe myself some salaries for being first, second, and third vice president and sergeant at arms.
Yeah. You better get after yourself, too, Lum. You know what slow pay you are.
Yeah. Who's this coming in here?
He looks like a lawyer or a banker. He's wearing a blue serge suit in the middle of the day.
Yeah, he's rich, you can tell that.
And new rich. That suit ain't even got a shine to it.
Ain't even turned green yet.
No.
Yeah, see what he wants, Abner, while I get this grocery order ready for Miss Seaster.
Yeah, I'll tempt to him.
Well, how do you do? My name's Johnson of the First Casualty Insurance Company of Little Rock.
Well, how do you do, Mr. Johnson? I'm Abner Peabody of the, nothing, I guess.
I'm looking for the Lum Edwards Insurance Company.
Well, that's the president right over there weighing them potatoes.
Oh, yes, sir. What can I do for you? Mr. Edwards, my company's heard about your success in selling insurance policies here in Pine Ridge. If you'll come to work for us, we're prepared to pay you a salary of $20 a week and commissions.
Mr. Johnson, I'm surprised at you offering a man like me $20 a week.
I thought it was a little high myself.
Why, that's ridiculous.
Well, it's more than we generally pay, but the company's never been able to sell any policies in this territory. How much would you want, Mr. Edwards?
I wouldn't even consider anything less than
$25. $25 a week? Well, Lum, with the tax bracket that you're in, you won't be able to keep over $24 of that.
Very well, I'll notify my company of your decision. Goodbye, gentlemen.
Goodbye, Mr. Johnson.
And goodbye.
Mom, I think you're making a mistake turning him down.
I know what I'm doing, Abner. I know this insurance business upside down and backwards.
Yeah, but maybe you ought to get in with somebody that knows it right side up and forward.
Oh, here comes Mose Moots. I gave him an insurance pamphlet to read. Watch him come in here and just beg me for a policy.
Beg, huh? Howdy, Mose.
Howdy, Abner. Lum, I just finished this pamphlet. There's one part that's the saddest thing I ever read.
Yeah, what's that, Mose?
It's a part about that poor man that, oh, it's so heartbreaking, I'll get all choked up. Just read that right there, Abner.
In the United States, every 30 seconds, a man is knocked down by an automobile.
You see, no sooner does he get on his feet than, wham, down he goes again.
That poor varmint. Bless his heart. Bless.
He ain't even got time to brush himself off.
Of course, once he's knocked down that way, he's an easy target, Mose.
I can see his family now standing there waiting for that car to stop hitting him.
Yeah. It ought to run out of gas pretty soon, though.
Wait a minute, fellas. You got this thing all wrong. That pamphlet's just taking one man and using him as a symbol.
If you ask me, they're using him as a football.
Oh. Well, wait a minute, Lum. There's something very sad I want to tell you.
Never mind that. Just sign this policy first.
Oh, all right. There you are, Lum.
Yeah, fine. Now, Mose, what was that sad thing you wanted to tell me?
Well, I ain't got the money to pay for the policy.
Mose, that's the saddest thing you said yet.
Well, you just go ahead and take the policy, Mose, and I'll get the money from you later. I'll take it out in haircuts. Abner answers the phone.
Yeah,
later.
I'll get it. Hello, jot 'em down store. Abner Peabody speaking. Oh, hello, Miss Redfield.
Oh, that's Charlie's wife. I just sold him one of our accident and health policies.
How you feeling, Miss Redfield? That's good.
Nice feller, Charlie Redfield.
How's the family, Miss Redfield?
Honest as the day is long.
Fine. Except who? Oh, poor Charlie.
Great business head on the show.
Poor old Charlie.
What's that?
Are you sure it's pneumonia?
Abner, give me that phone.
Huh? He's
just like that crook Charlie Redfield to make out like he's sick so he can collect on his income. Mean as he is, he might even die.
Well, I think I'll just take my policy and run along back to the barber shop. So long, feller.
Yes, so long, old.
Hello, Miss Redfield. Now, what's this about Charlie making out like he's
the door nearly killed himself.
Oh, my goodness. Miss Redfield, I'll call you back. Goodbye.
Come on, Lum. Help me lift Mose up and carry him back into the store.
No, I think I busted my knee.
Oh, stop your bellering, Mose. I'm sorry. It was all my fault.
Yeah, what happened, Opie?
Well, I was walking into the store, and I bumped into Mose coming out, and I guess he tripped over my crutch.
What are you doing with them crutches?
See, I busted my ankle, and I was just coming over to see you about collecting my accident insurance.
Oh, me.
How'd you bust your ankle, Opie?
Well, I slipped and fell off the ambulance.
What ambulance?
Well, the one that was taking Uncle Luke to the hospital.
To him.
Well, you see, Lum, right after he bought that insurance policy from you, he was walking down Main Street and he slipped on a banana peel and fractured four of his ribs.
But clumsy idiot. What was he doing on Main Street?
Looking for a banana peel.
Hey, fellas, are you gonna just let me lay here with this busted knee?
Oh, all right, Mose. Come on, Abner. Help me lift him.
Mom, we never will be able to lift Mose by ourselves. I can't even get his head off of the ground.
Well, you could call the Fuller Construction Company in Mount Ida, and they might send over their derrick.
Well, here, maybe we can drag him inside.
Now, fellas, watch out for my knee.
You'll be more comfort in here, Mose.
It's kind of drafty here on the floor.
Aw. Opie, run into the feed room and get that old horse blanket for Mose. That'll cover most of him.
Well, I don't know if I can run very fast on these crutches.
Well, crutch in there, then.
Luckiest day of my whole life. First Charlie Redfield gets sick, and then Luke Spears, and Opie, and now Mose.
Yeah, Dad, blame it. I wish something would happen to me. My policy's just sitting here going to waste.
This'll just break me. The only ones I insure that ain't sick are Corny Strooby and Widder Frawley and Snag Warris and you.
Yeah. Corny and the Widder went to Hatfield today.
Yeah, hope nothing happens to them.
Well, here's the horse blanket, Mose.
Oh, thanks, Opie.
Say, fellas, did you hear about the Hatfield bus?
Oh, me.
It run into a car about an hour ago and turned over.
Oh, that's terrible, Opie.
Yeah, but it could have been worse. Out of 38 passengers on the bus, there was just two of them hurt.
I know, the Widder Frawley and Corny Strooby. I just guess. Oh, why did I ever go into the insurance business? I better run over and see if nothing happens to Snag Ware. He's the only well one I got left. Abner, answer the phone.
Yeah,
please.
I'll get it. Hello, jot him down store. Abner Peabody talking.
Opie, tell Abner to keep an eye on Mose here. I'm going over to see Snag.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Lum, wait a minute. Snag Ware is on the phone now, and he wants to talk to you. He just busted both his arms.
Busted both his arms? How'd he do that?
He was driving the car cracked into the Hatfield bus.
Wait a minute, Abner. Where are you going?
Over to Snag Warris. I want to see how he can hold a receiver with two broke arms.
No two ways about it. I'm sank. All I collected on them insurance policies is $27, and I owe $300 just for the first week.
Oh, Lord.
Luke Spears is talking about suing me, and I ain't even got enough money to go into bankruptcy.
Well, it's your own fault, Lum. You ought to have took that job Mr. Johnson offered you with that insurance company in Little Rock.
Hey, fellas, how long do I have to lay here on the floor?
Opie went to find a block and tackle mold. If he gets one of them, well, we can raise you up on blocks and put wheels under you and roll you home. If you let your wash chain drag, well, folks will think you're one of them butane trucks.
Comes Lady Brilton. Abner, whatever you do, don't mention nothing about insurance. I just can't afford to sell no more policies.
No, cut that out, right?
Well, good afternoon, Mr. Edwards and Mr. Peabody.
How do you do?
Come in, Lady Brilton. Make yourself comfortable.
Thank you. I don't believe I've met the gentleman on the floor.
Roll over, Mose, and say hello to Lady Brilton.
Pardon me for not getting up.
Oh, don't mention it. Mr. Edwards, I've heard that you are now in the insurance business.
Well, that was yesterday. Right now, I'm trying to figure a way to get out of it.
Oh, but Mr. Edwards, you mustn't give up so quickly. You've got to give the business a chance to grow. One day isn't much of a trial.
Don't worry, Lady Brilton. His trial will take longer than one day.
To demonstrate my faith in your insurance company, I'm going to purchase one of your policies.
Oh, no, no.
Hey, fellas, I'm getting hungry. Can you throw me down something to eat?
Yeah, here you are, Mose. I'll bounce an orange over there.
Yeah, don't go bouncing no oranges.
Dribble it.
Hand it to him and have him sign for it.
Yes,
now, look, Lady Brilton, you don't want one of my policies. My company's new and unreliable, and the president's thinking of leaving the town.
Mr. Edwards, I appreciate the honesty of your approach, but I insist on taking a policy.
Oh, all right. That'll be $3. Just sign your name right here.
Well, good. There. Now I feel so much safer. Oh, my gracious. Oh, I feel faint.
That insurance will do it every time.
Lady Brilton, sit down and rest for a minute.
Oh, it must be that crab meat salad I had at that housewife's luncheon. Oh, no wonder all those ladies were so ill.
Uh-oh. Lum, how much does that policy pay for Tolmaine?
Wait a minute, Abner. Look who's coming in here.
Huh? Oh, is that Mr. Johnson from Little Rock?
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, gentlemen.
Just in time.
Well, Mr. Edwards, I communicated with my company, and they authorized me to make you a counter proposition.
Counter? Right now, I'll sell you the whole store.
Well, I'll explain the proposition in a few words. We understand that you are having financial difficulties, so we're willing to absorb your company into ours and pay all claims against policies issued by you.
Huh.
We feel that prompt payment on these claims will bring us the confidence and trust of the rest of the people here in Pine Ridge and induce them to buy their insurance from our company. Well, what do you say, Mr. Edwards?
Watch him, Lon. If he says another few words, we'll be here all night.
If you'll just sign these releases here... There are 8 copies.
Yeah, I've already signed them, Mr. Johnson, while you was talking.
Oh, but with a company like that waiting to pay off, I better find me an accident someplace.
How do you do? I'm Miss Pitt.
Yeah, I know, and you want some more crab meat for your tomaine salad. Come on, climb up here, Long.
How many cans do you want?
Oh, Miss Pitt? Me, I don't want any more crab meat.
You don't?
No, I thought I would come in and buy one of those insurance policies you were telling me about.
No.
Hey, Long, look out, crab!
Busted my leg, that's all.
Busted your leg? Well, that's great. Now that you got an insurance company that can really pay off.
That's the trouble, Abner. I just remembered something.
Uh-huh.
I was so busy selling policies to everybody else, I forgot to get one myself.
took the accident and health policy.
Yeah, Mr. Johnson sold me one.
Well, too bad you didn't have it before you busted your leg. You'd be collecting plenty now.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping to get a call from the Sing It Again program. I got the clue to the phantom voice.
You have? What is it?
The clue is the phantom voice, in more than one way, gave a lot to the USA.
Well, I hope you win it, Lum. Here's a little present that Miss Pitts sent over for you.
Miss Pitts?
Yeah, it's some of that crab meat salad.
Good. I'm going to eat it right now. You get Mr. Johnson on the phone.